Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear listeners, and you are tuned to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam. And inshallah, we are about to commence the question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. And once again, we'd like to welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah fayacham, Mufti Saab, may Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you in abundance. To the listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite Islam, if you want to pose a question, you are most welcome to do so. The number to call is 011-854-1548. I repeat, the number is 011-854-1548. The fax number is 854-7024. And the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8070. Inshallah, you can start sending us your questions and you can start calling us on 011-854-1548. Mufti Saab, we have a number of questions, inshallah. Let's take it step by step. Yes, the cell phone's already beeping. Let's come to the cell phone question. It says, Mufti Saab, salam, some ulama are saying that it is permissible to cut your hair to plus minus shoulder length for females. Please let me know what the Sharia ruling is, cause I am confused.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The caller should tell us who those ulama are, and those ulama who are saying, the caller, that it is permissible for the lady to cut its shoulder length hair, should kindly write it down and subsequently forward that document to Radio Islam for your attention, Monarchara. Then we can look at the proofs and we can analyze it. However, I am clearly stating that it is not permissible for females to cut the hair. The hadith is clear that the male should not imitate the females, and the female should not imitate the males. Imam Shami, etc., utilize this hadith to prove that the female should not cut the hair. Yes.
All right, JazakAllah for the clarification, Mufti Saab. The time is 15 minutes to 9 o'clock. Again, a reminder, the number to send your questions is 082-580-8070, 082-580-8070, and the number to call is 011-854-1548. And if you're calling from outside South Africa, the dialing code is +27118541548. Mufti Saab, the next question is with regards to keeping dogs. The listener wants to know, can we keep dogs for breeding or as pets? Is it permissible?
As far as dogs are concerned, the hadith is very clear that the malaika do not enter the home wherein they are photographed, tasawir, and dogs, or dogs. Now, if a person wants to keep a dog for security reasons, then the ulama have stated that the dog should be kept about 10 meters away from the home. And if a person wants to keep and breed dogs, that means he wants to now breed dogs and sell them, and the intention will be that he is going to sell them as security dogs, then that is permissible. But to keep dogs as pets and keep them in your home, that is not permissible. Yes.
All right, JazakAllah, Mufti Saab. The time is 30 minutes to 9 o'clock. And Mufti Saab, I'm sure you're aware with regards to the woman who led the salah of a group of women. I think this was out in America. So we'd like you to clarify this masala for us, Mufti Saab. Is it permissible for a woman to lead salah of a group of women in a gathering, Mufti Saab?
Did she leave the salat of women or did she leave the salat of men?
Mafur, sir.
Did she leave the salat for women or men?
I think it was a salat for men. It was general.
Yeah, it was general.
JazakAllah.
Now, remember that according to our knowledge, that she also came to South Africa and did the same somewhere in Cape Town. And she unfortunately was given permission. Now she goes and does it in New York. And if we realize, then it is stations like BBC who are giving propaganda and leverage to this lady and trying to create once more division and discord amongst Muslims. The masala is very clear that female cannot lead men in salah, arijaluna kuwamuna ala nisa, men are supervisors, guardians, custodians, well-wishers, responsible over the females. Now this lady, she claims boldly that nowhere in the Quran it is stated that the female cannot lead men or the female cannot give azan. Her statement is erroneous and fallacious, because everything in Sharia is not to be found only in the Quran Kareem. The Quran Kareem is not the only source of derivation and argumentation in Islam. There are four sources of derivation and argumentation in Islam: Quran, Sunnah, Ijma, consensus of opinion of the Mujtahideen, and Qiyas, analogical Sharia reasoning. For example, if a person has to say only Quran is sufficient, that is erroneous. And if a person rejects the Hadith or Sunnah, then that person will leave the fold of Islam. 2 rakat of Fajr, 4 rakat of Zuhr, Asr, and 4 rakat of Isha, 3 rakat of Maghrib is nowhere stated in the Quran Kareem. Hundreds of thousands of laws are not stated in the Quran Kareem. Movement of Hajj from Mecca to Mina, Mina to Arafat, Arafat, making Jama Bain Salatain there in Masjid al-Namira, and then coming to Muzdalifah, making Jama Bain Salatain of Maghrib Isha, making Mabid, Pigia, Pebbles, coming to Mina for Rami al-Jamara, and coming for Tawaf al-Ziyara, making Safa Marwa, and going back to Mina. All that is not stated in Quran Kareem. There are literally hundreds of laws that are not in the Quran Kareem, but in the remaining sources of argumentation. The lady is not permitted in Sharia to give azan or to lead the men folk in salah. Now I've been informed also that the muftis of the world, including the Azhar Mufti and the Mufti of Egypt, have clearly stated that this is a haram action, an illegal action for a lady to lead the men folk in salah.
Allahumma bismillah, JazakAllah for the clarification. And we go to line number one. I think we have anonymous sister on the line. Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Right.
I just wanted to bring this question up and appreciate some feedback regarding all the adverts that you see. Now, I've got the recent copy of the Leisure Times in front of me.
Okay.
There's plus minus 8 adverts there, where there's Indian herbalists, healers, claiming to cure you from all kinds of things, helping you with gambling and all kinds of things. They tell you your fortune and stuff, and they're using the words like Mulana and Mufti.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know if the Jamaat can respond to this, because according to a kitab that I read, those that were in a position of authority must put a stop to these claims.
All right, JazakAllah, sister, we're glad you raised a question. Would you like to listen to the answer on radio? All right, JazakAllah for the question, sister.
Right.
Assalamu alaikum. Just before you answer the question, let's take another call on the line. I think my sister. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. JazakAllah for your call, brother.
I just want to find out, are we allowed to visit Karamat?
All right.
Secondly, are women allowed to visit these Karamat?
When you say Karamat, can you explain a bit, brother?
Mazars.
Mazars. All right, JazakAllah.
And thirdly, is what is the procedure if we are allowed, and what should we read?
All right, JazakAllah. I'd like to listen to the Aunt Sound Radio.
JazakAllah,
brother. Assalamu alaikum. What is somebody there?
Hey, I hope you're noting these questions down, okay?
Gee, all right, I'm trying to.
Inshallah.
Memory is bad.
No, write it down. The second caller had 3 questions. The first caller I will take first, the lady's caller.
All right, Masam.
What I understand from her that now the newspapers are advertising under what they call traditional healers. And one is traditional healer stating that they are going to utilize herbs or any other non-conventional method of trying to treat the person. That is permissible. However, to say and make matters worse, to use the word Molana or Mufti and then say you want to say the person's future, and that tantamounts to fortune telling and astrology, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly stated that the person who visits one of these soothsayers or astrologers, then his dua is not accepted for 40 days. According to some, the ibadat even is not accepted for 40 days. One should definitely not visit these people. Most of the time they are professional called personnel posing as spiritual healers and posing in the name of Islam and trying to sell their faith. And also those who go there, they are even more stupid. How can they even go to people who say they can see the future? If this person could see the future, then definitely he'll be able to get some lottery or something like that and become a millionaire and retire somewhere. If he can say the future of someone else, why can't he say the future of what's happening in the gambling areas, etc.? So this is a completely bogus things that go on. Worse still, it is done under the name of Islam, under the name of Maulana or Mufti or traditional healer. Muslims should be wary and should not go to these people who make ridiculous tall claims. In fact, they can do nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything. A person should not be conned by these professional thugs and rogues.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah, I think we must be wary, as you were saying, and some of these, some charge very high, very exorbitant fees, and I came across a family who mentioned that on one visit they had to, you know, spend 15,000 rands, they have to give 15,000 rands to the so-called Maulana, because he says that to get this jadu, etc., out of your mind, you'll have to sacrifice a few cows. So imagine if they spend 15,000 rands. Anyway, 5 minutes to 9 o'clock, so the second question from the brother with regards to visiting the mazar on the Karamat. You'd like to answer that question, Mufti?
We got news at 9.
Gee, it's about 4 minutes to 9 o'clock. We had to take it after news.
Because these three questions this brother posed. What was the first question?
So the first question was, he wants to know, are we allowed to visit the mazars or the karamats? The second question was, what's the procedure of visiting if it is jais to visit? And the second question was, if allowed to visit, what must be read?
No, the first question was, can ladies visit karamats? Can ladies visit the Karama?
Right.
Oh, this issue, in brief, the Karama is basically a term used by the brethren in Cape Town.
Hmm.
They refer to the mazars of pious personalities as Karamas. And therefore, it will mean graveyard also.
Sure.
Now, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam initially stated that no one should visit the graveyard. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said everybody should visit graveyard.
Yeah.
Thirdly, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the woman folk should not visit the graveyard.
Mm.
And on that is the ruling, that's the last statement of his. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave three reasons for women not to go to the qabristans. And this will equally apply to the karamat. The Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said they are emotional, they will wail and cry and weep. They will beat their chest and tear their hair. So, due to these reasons, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the women folk should not visit the graveyard, and as I stated, it will apply to the karamats also. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he told the ladies that who were deciding to go to the graveyard, he said, can you carry the janazah? They said, no. He said, can you lower it? They said, no. He said, can you throw the sand over it after that? They said, no. He said, what do you want to go do there? You'd rather go home then. So, the responsibility of burial and seeing also to the mayat being dafan, buried, is the responsibility of men folk. Now, the women folk need not be sad or depressed, because the whole purpose of going to the graveyard is to read and make isara alayhi sawab for the deceased. They can sit in their homes without any difficulty, even while cooking and peeling potatoes, recite Surah Ikhlas and recite whatever Quran they know, and make Isale Sawab for the deceased, beloved ones, etc., who have gone by. Why they must take all these difficult measures of going to the graveyard? Islam has made deen easy and made it easier for the females.
Yes, we have a call on the line. Brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. JazakAllah for your call, brother. Your question?
Yes, the question I want to ask about is inheritance.
Gee.
My late father left some money behind.
Gee.
Okay, and unfortunately, in the interim, the money was left. My brother passed away.
Gee.
So I would like to know the question now. I mean, he was around when the money was handed over to him.
Okay.
But unfortunately, he's passed away as well.
All right.
So that inheritance, do we count his son in that inheritance as well?
All right. JazakAllah for this question. Just hold on, brother Mufti Sahib, are you there?
Yes.
Do you have the answer?
Although we still got those two other questions, inshallah, the brother can hang up, I'll answer it.
All right. JazakAllah for your brother Mufti Sahib will answer it. JazakAllah for your Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mufti Sahib, we come back to the karamas or the mazars. Let's answer that one first.
Let's do this estate one because it's a short answer.
All right.
the late father's estate was not divided, and in the interim, one of the persons brothers. Who was supposed to get one of the inheritors, the brother, that is the late father's son, passed away.
He passed away, dear.
Now, that share will have to be distributed to that family. It will go to that late brother's estate. When it goes to the late brother's estate, now then there is a further division now. One is the late father's. Now, the portion that was due to the son will go to the son's estate in that pool. And from there, it will be further distributed to the son's family, whether the son had wife and daughters and sons.
All right, so that answers it perfectly. What is that? We come back to this karamat one.
The karamat, now, it is permissible to visit the graves of saints. Definitely, it is permissible. However, provided we know who the historical, reliable, authentic history that a saint is resting there. To visit the graves of saints, it is permissible. To go there and to make dua is permissible. To go there, read Quran, and make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the status of the saint, that is permissible. But to go there would be a belief that I'm going to go to the grave of a certain saint and ask of the saint, from the saint, directly. That is tantamounting to shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive shirk.
All right, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib, that answers those three questions. The time is 11 minutes past 9 o'clock. Call us on 011-854-158. We have a number of questions on the screen. Brother Jerry is telling me, go to the screen, please. Sahib, the first question on the computer screen is, what is the hukam of that Muslim person who wants to take photographs?
The person...
Sorry, Mufti Sahib, it takes further. It says further for the Muslims who want to apply for ID.
Oh, that is permissible. The ID photograph, because it is something that the government wants us to have, and without that photograph, then you cannot get your ID or your visa or your passport. Then to take that photograph is permissible, and for a person to have a business to cater for the needs of those types of photographs is permissible also.
Right, JazakAllah for that. Musa, the next question is, can a woman show her face and her hands?
Who she wants to show that to?
I don't know, Musa.
Huh?
I don't know.
See, most of the ulama ikram are saying that she should cover her face. And her hands, most of the ulama are not so stringent and strict about covering the hands. We find certain ladies who are in hijab, they are in so strict hijab that they cover their face, hands and feet. As far as the feet is concerned, ulama ikram have stated that should be covered. But as far as the hands, most ulama ikram say, no, that need not be covered. Yes.
All right, JazakAllah. Go to the next question of this sub. It says, what is the hukam of a beard and can I cut anything from it? With regards to the beard, Mufti Sahib.
As far as the beard is concerned, to keep a beard is wajib, jurisprudically speaking, although it is a sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And to keep a fixed length is also wajib. To either trim it less than a fixed length or shave is haram. And this ruling which I've stated, these four rulings, are according to all four imams who have got their proof in the Quran and Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To trim it after a fish length that is good, permissible, and that is the proper sunnah that should be adhered to. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala clearly states that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should trim his beard a fist length, and we should try to adhere as far as possible to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The closer we go to the sunnah, there'll be more barakah, blessing, boons and favor. So we should definitely keep the beard. What you can take from the beard is more than the fist length. We have written on the beard, if you go to our website, alislam.co.za, then inshallah you can get more information about the beard. And we have also translated some works regarding the beard of Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, Sheikh al Hadith of Azadwal. And also we have lately translated Dari or Ambiya ki Sunnate of Mufti Sayyid Palampuri, soon to be released.
Alright, Jazakallah, so very important for us to keep the beard. 40 minutes past 9 o'clock, the next question is, can I shave my hair or must it be long? What is the masada?
Say slowly again, because shaving and long, what?
I think the brother basically wants to know the masala with regards to the hair. What is the best? Must he keep long hair or must he shave his hair?
There are three levels of hair. One is no hair, and one is hair to the earlobes, and one is hair to the shoulders. If a person is able to care for the hair, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that honor your hair. And then Sahaba said, how do we honor? He said that you should oil it and comb it. However, it is clearly stated in the books of jurisprudence that a person should not spend, a male should not spend time every day combing the hair. And this is not a thing that we should be wasting our time upon. So much stress Islam is placing on value of time, it is stating that we should not spend too much of time combing, brushing hair. Unfortunately, this has become the order of the day. You would see now we have got mirrors in wuzu khana also. As soon as a person makes wuzu, then he spends 2-3 minutes combing and brushing up his hair. This is not a Islamic practice. You should be combing the hair, yes, but not so as often as we do it these days. So depending on the person's ability and capacity, he should keep whatever length that he can maintain properly.
Allahumma sabr jazakallah for that. We come to a very, very important question with regards to Umrah, but we'll come to that. The next question is, can I read Salah after Witr?
Yes, definitely Salah can be read, Nafil Salah can be read after Witr Salah, yes.
Alright, jazakallah. The next question is from my brother. He wants to know, can I make Salah without a topi?
This has become, unfortunately, the order of the day, the fashion of the hour, and it has become a sign of certain people that they want to insist and persist. They want to read and perform Salah without a hat. To be without a hat is, for a man, a sign that he is in a state of ihram. When a person adorns ihram, then he puts up the two pieces of cloth, and after performing the niyat and talbiyah, which he does by performing the two rakats of sunnatul ihram, and then he removes the headgear and then reads the talbiyah. So the exception to the rule is to have the head uncovered, that is in ihram, and the rule is obviously then to have the head covered all the time. But unfortunately, it has become a special sign of those who claim to be loving Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they do not want to appear like him also.
Okay. Ustaz, the time is 80 minutes past 9 o'clock. We take one more question, and the day after we take a short break. The question, Ustaz, is, or I will take two questions, the one being from a brother, he wants to know, can one go for Umrah before going for Hajj?
If a person has got sufficient funds to go for Umrah but does not have adequate funding to go for Hajj, then it is permissible for that person to go for Umrah. If a person has got sufficient funds for Hajj And if he goes for Umrah and then spends it out in Umrah, that will be highly detested, because he should save his money, not go for Umrah, but go for Hajj. But as I've stated, if he has got only funds for Umrah, and these days the Umrah packages are relatively reasonable. Unfortunately, I do not know what happens to the aircraft when it goes for Hajj. All of a sudden, the airfares also double and triple, and all funny things happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us.
Ameen, ameen. We have another question here. Very sad indeed. A sister wants to know, can a woman ask her husband to divorce her because she wants to get married to another man?
This demand for divorce looks like it is based upon an illegal, illicit relationship which has been struck up by this wife onto another person. Obviously, unfortunately, due to gender mixing and the looseness of the society and immorality being at its lowest ebb, this lady perhaps has now seen another man and now wants to divorce her husband for the other man. This is no Shari proper valid ground for asking or requesting or demanding for divorce. However, if this is the scenario, first of all, and this lady gets a divorce and goes to the other man, then 9 out of 10 times it does not work out, because the basis of seeking a divorce are un-Islamic. The subsequent action and result will also be without barakah, bereft of any goodness and khair.
Ameen, may Allah Rabbul Izzat save us. So the next question is, can a person keep a hamster as a pet in the home, and will the angels enter the home?
What is that animal?
So a hamster, I don't know how to explain it, but I know what it looks like.
Oh, I think this animal may be looking like a rat or something. So why the person wants to keep that? The rule again here will be that, although it is definitely not a dog, and if the person keeps it, then one should find out, especially because it is small in nature, the Shari ruling concerning its skin and also its saliva. And the saliva that's coming out from the nose of that animal and the saliva that is coming out from the mouth of that animal. So the person should go to the local ulama and ask concerning the skin, when it's dry and wet, and when the nose is wet and dry, and when the mouth is giving off the saliva. And the most important rule will be, is that animal accustomed to be caged up or kept in a home under these conditions? If it is not, then it will not be permissible to keep it. If one can accustomize it to be in a four walls, etc., then the other rule will apply. One has to keep it properly, treat it well, and the order for animals is that we should feed them and not starve them, and especially when we go for holidays, there should be someone to care and look after them.
Yes, very important. You know, the qissa when Nabi Kareem Salman says, with regards to a lady who did not give the cat food, or the result Allah's adab came upon her. So very important. If you're keeping those pets and those animals, feed them well, look after them well. We go to line number 3. We have Sajida. Sajida, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, Sajida.
My question is on behalf of my grandmother.
Ji.
Her son, my uncle, got married about 4 years ago and divorced this woman. And they have a child. And she used jadu on him to make him, made or whatever, right? And he tried to take his life due to the jadu. And now he wants to see his son, but she refuses unless he comes to the house to fetch the child. And that he doesn't want to do because he's scared that she might do something else. Because he really wants to see his son, but she refuses to let his son come here to him unless he goes to the house to fetch him.
Alright, Musab, are you there? Just hold on, Sajida, Musab.
Yeah, what you call, first of all, just about the jadu issue, who's making jadu, so-called making jadu on who?
His ex-wife is making jadu on him.
And who wants to see the child?
The father.
So why is they not allowing the father to see the child?
I don't know why, but he just doesn't want him to see the child unless he goes to the house to fetch him.
So when he fetches the child, then they allow the child to be seen, is it?
No, actually she doesn't let the child out of the house unless my uncle speaks to her first, and my uncle doesn't want to speak to her.
Okay, I understand what's happening now. I'll answer inshallah.
All right, Jazakallah for your call.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This obviously is a complex family feud, and allegations have been made that black magic or jadu has been utilized, etc. However, understand something. In the court of Islamic law, if one person says to the judge that that other person has made jadu on me, this does not hold valid because this is the assumption, the analyzing or diagnosis of jadu, and to pinpoint so and so has done it is mere zanni. Zanni meaning conjecture, and conjecture cannot lead to any worldly ruling or punishment or shari ruling for or against. Now we are making some very bold statements by stating so and so is making jadu against so and so. So they should be cautious, especially now they come on air and do this. Secondly, where the person who wants to see his child and not given visitation rights should take the matter up with the local jamiat and present the case there so that they can come in as mediators and arbitrators and facilitate visitation rights, etc., on the behalf of this person. It is not good and it is not proper for them not to give the father visitation rights without any shari valid reason.
Alright, Rakhla, I think that clarifies the question to the 8 minutes to 10 o'clock. Can my elderly Kala, that is my mother's sister, go with my husband for Hajj Umrah?
What is the mother's?
Mother's sister. The wife's? Kala, the wife's mother's sister.
Wife's mother's sister, go with who?
Go with her husband. Go with the wife.
Go with the husband?
Yes. Sorry, with the husband.
The husband. You can see the wife's mother.
Wife's mother's sister.
The wife's mother is a mahram for that. The husband can go with the wife's mother. That is for certain.
Yes.
But now she talks about the wife's mother's sister.
Sister, ji.
So that means whether it is possible for the husband to have in nikah the wife and the wife's mother's sister simultaneously.
Ji.
So I do not think so that is possible. But he cannot have at one time the wife and the wife's mother's sister in nikah. He cannot. But in the event of the wife dying, then he can marry the wife's mother's sister. Am I going too fast?
Do you know, it's perfect, so go ahead.
You're a Molvi, you understand me. Let me go slowly. You see the wife's mother.
Yes, yes.
That is automatically mahram for the husband.
Husband, yes.
They could go Hajj Umrah, travel together.
All right.
Because he has married the lady, her mother. He cannot marry now.
Right.
Even when the wife dies, a person cannot marry his mother-in-law.
Gee.
When a person has married the lady, he cannot marry, when his wife dies, he cannot marry his mother-in-law. He is dying.
All right.
Now, in the presence of his wife, he cannot marry his mother-in-law's sister. That is arzi. Arzi, meaning temporary. His wife dies, he can marry the wife's mother's sister.
Sister, all right.
Okay.
All right.
Now the question arises, that can the husband go with the wife's mother's sister
for Hajj Umrah?
No, he cannot.
Cannot, all right. JazakAllah, we'll stop 25 minutes to 10 o'clock. We have a number of questions. Remember, it's a phone-in program. Call us on 0118-54-1548. The fact number is 8547024, the dialing code being 011, and the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082 580 8070. This is the next question. Is my husband gave me a divorce and now he is denying it, but my sons witnessed. What must be done in this instance?
Now, if the son has witnessed it, it will make matters clear or difficult. Clear in which way? That now the wife definitely has to abstain from her husband, irrespective of whether he is denying it. But the easy solution is that the wife, together with the alleged divorcing husband, would be son, must go to some reliable ulama or the local jamia and present the whole thing. The local presiding alim will first of all see whether that youngster is sane, whether he is balig, and question him, interrogate him, to find out what he remembers and all the proceedings. I do not want to mention all the details. I'm just now the wife, if she wants a divorce and this was a setup, then she brief up the son how to answer. When they go there, the alim will make the final ruling.
Can I cut my eyebrow hair, which is the next question?
No, do not do that. Sharia does not allow that.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go to the next question. So just 1 second, coming to the SMS questions. Salams, I left my wife. Can I still marry four wives?
If he left one wife, how is he marry four? If he left one wife, why he left her? So he should worry about why he left. Perhaps he feels that he left one woman, and he thinks that this is like talaq, that if you gave one talaq, then you are two left, and you gave two, you got one left. No, you had one wife, and you divorced her, now you can marry four wives, no problem.
No problem. Go ahead. Go ahead, JazakAllah, four wives, brother, you can marry four wives. 23 minutes to 10 o'clock, the next question, Mufti Saab, is, Salams, what must you do with your old photograph? Is it guna to keep it? Please explain.
Once you know what you want to ask, what to do with the old photograph, that is, you are of the opinion, inner feeling, that you want to destroy it. Destroy it. That's the best course of action. Don't hide it away and keep it away and keep it for historical purposes, etc. Don't do all that. It brings back unnecessary emotion, sentiments, attached to these things. And also, eventually it leads to vanity, show, display, form, glory also. And at the end, it leads to arrogance, stupidity, wasted of time and money. And thirdly, it also can lead to adoring the person and crying and weeping over once the person has passed away, when you look at the photograph and begin to weep and cry.
All right. Can a person blow up his nose in Salah? And the next question is, can you keep fish in the house, in the fish tank?
A person should not blow the nose in Salah. This will eventually tantamount to Amal al-Kathir, meaning such an action that the onlooker of Salah is looking at a person and he feels that that person cannot be in Salah. So that person in Salat is doing such a major action, major movement, that the onlooker feels that definitely that person is not in Salat, and he is doing such an action which generally people do outside Salat. Blowing of the nose is one of those actions which has got too much movement. Inserting the hand in the pocket, removal of the tissue or handkerchief, taking it up to the nose, blowing excessively, and then taking it and putting it back into the pocket, that is tantamount to a viewer classifying it as a major action. So should not blow the nose in Salah. And the other question was?
With regards to fish, when we step in a fish tank, are we allowed to keep the fish?
You are allowed to keep fish in the fish tank, provided you care for it, you look after it, you feed it, and you learn about all activities that make the fish comfortable and all the amenities to make the fish comfortable should be bought. Also, especially again, I insist, when you leave for short periods of time, then you should maintain or have someone maintain those fishes in the tank.
All right. Steph, earlier you spoke to Sajida. You spoke to Sajida. She had a question with regards to the jadu. She called back again to say that the lady actually confessed to making jadu on her uncle.
Even then, even if he confesses, then there is a different law applying, because remember that whether these things work or did it work or was it something else affected the person, all these are tangible issues which can be which are abstract in nature and not finite, tati, not just that.
Right.
However, if the lady has done that, then it is easy to catch up that marriage. Because once she has done it and she's saying that she's confessing to it, then she should return, make a good tawbah, a tawbah to Nasuha, and then ask for mediation, arbitration, and reconciliation.
Yeah. So we go to the next question. It says, sometimes I go to a wedding, but after the wedding, the people make salami. What do I do? Do I just sit or do I join them?
First of all, the prior to attending any function, you should find out the itinerary of the function. What is going to happen in the function? Are there going to be photographs? Going to be music? Going to be intermingling of genders? Is there going to be some un-Islamic activity taking place there? And if you are going to find out anything that is not going to be in conformity to Sharia, then as a good Muslim, you should not be going. However, if you are there and this activity takes place, then any activity that takes place that is un-Islamic and not proven in the Sharia, then you should abstain from.
Alright, JazakAllah. So the next question is, it says, while I am making nafal namaz, I forgot one sajda. Must I repeat my salah or must I make a sajda is sahwa?
You should repeat your salah.
Repeat your salah, okay. We go on further. Can I apply for medical aid?
Try to apply for medical aid. That these days we have been informed that there are some medical aid that give your premium back if you do not utilize it, and they have got a minimum administrative charge. In areas where the government medical facilities is atrocious and putrid, and it is detrimental to any average health, then there is some room for taking out medical aid there.
Alright, so before we carry on, before we go on, we made some research on this, but we'd like to hear your view that there's a certain person whose deeds, or rather he deals in haram activities, in other words, he sells liquor. His son got married, he invited a number of people for the nikah. What should be done? Should the people attend the nikah and partake of the meal?
In this case, if the person only and wholly his income is selling of haram and alcohol, and that is the only form of earning of that person, then definitely you should not go through and you should not attend that man's function, because he is going to feed you with haram money. But if that person has got any alternative source of income, then it will be permissible but highly detested to attend such a function.
Alright, JazakAllah. We've gone for the 16 minutes to 10 o'clock. We'll start the next question. Is there any specific surah to be recited for a mother who is pregnant?
There is no specific surah. However, access or increasing the Quran tilawat will, inshallah, give a good, healthy, pious child. Ulama Ikram, although they have stated that to recite Surah Maryam will ease the childbirth. So a person can recite Surah Maryam, and many people have told us that their wives were reciting Surah Maryam, and during the childbirth that was easy, and also in Nifas, the post-delivery blood was of a very short duration.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. Mr. Abid, come back to the questions on the cell phone. The next one is, can a man have more than one wife without a legitimate reason?
When we talk of legitimate reason, we have to clarify, and the person has to show it what he means by legitimate free reason. Because any person doing any action will have some sort of reason for it. A person does not just do an action without any reason. If a person does any action without any reason, then there is something wrong upstairs with him. Because any action, no matter how good or bad it is, how stupid or foolish it is, a person has to have some sort of reason. So, a person cannot say, I'm taking second wife for no reason. There has to be some motivation, some factor, or some reason or rationale behind this person taking another wife. A person cannot do an action without any goal, objective, or purpose.
So we have, I think, a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jazakallah for your call, brother.
I just wanted to know, can you plant a fig tree in your yard? And now, while it's growing, can you cut it?
Alright, Jazakallah for the question, brother.
See, and I got another question. I wanted to know, I started working last February for 4 months, from February till June. And I earned 6,000. Now, this year, I started working again from February, now till today, till this week. And now, I just want to know, do I have to pay the cut?
Alright, so let's just hold on the line, brother. Mr. Sapp, would you like to answer the second question first?
Yeah, February to June, that was last year.
Gee.
The brother is still online.
Brother, are you still online? Or you left, Mr. Sapp?
For zakat to become farz on him, he has to have the zakat nisab. Zakat nisab, have you got it there?
The zakat nisab, it's maybe just about over 1,000 rand.
It's about 1,000 rand at the moment.
About 1,000 rand.
So that person is supposed to have 1,000 rand for one Islamic lunar year. So if he does not have 1,000 rand or 1,000 rand plus as assets for one Islamic lunar year, then he does not have to keep it. And if he's got more than that, he does not have to give a zakat. If he's got more than that, obviously, and he's got it for one Islamic lunar year, he will give zakat of that. Perhaps the brother is worried about that certain times at the beginning of an Islamic year of your calculation, you have got a figure like 4,000. And the end of the Islamic calculation period, you got 6,000 now as average, or 6,000 at the end. So end figure will be taken as the figure to calculate zakat upon.
Fig tree.
It is permissible to plant the fig tree, and also it is permissible to cut the fig tree. People are under the impression and have got a fairy tale surrounding the fig tree. They think that jinnahs frequent only fig trees, or they think jinnahs sit under only fig trees. So that is why they are worried about fig trees. And generally the stories related about trees are linked to figs. That is why this question arises about the fig tree.
Alright, so we have a number of questions that go through it. We have about 5 minutes left. The next question is, can a sister take out the hair of the leg and the hand?
Yes, it is permissible.
Can we visit the death tomb of Yusuf? It says it is in my tour schedule.
It is permissible.
Alright. And what is the number of qada you can make each day?
Any amount. Is humanly possible for a person.
Alright, Jazakallah. Short and simple, sweet answer. Jazakallah for the Yusuf. 10 minutes to 10 o'clock. Now we go to the cell phone, the SMSs. Please explain the dealing of Salah, especially Asr Salah. And the next question is, may one read Ya Rabbil Alameen in Witr, as I cannot memorize Dua Iqunut. Please give me an easy Dua to make me memorize easily. Jazakallah.
The first question is that you can delay, provided it is not done out of just laziness, but due to some valid reason, delay of Asr can be right up to sunset. As far as the Witr is concerned, if a person does not know the dua, then you can read, if a person does not know dua al-qunut, then a person can read Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanata wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina azab an-nar. Or if that person does not know that, then you can read Ya Arhamar Rahimin 3 times. And if a person does not even know that, can read any name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any amount of time. The person should try to abstain from sin and make a concerted effort to read Quran a lot and recite Durud Sharif a lot. The memory will improve.
Alright, so that's the stop. The time is now 8 minutes to 10 o'clock. We have just about 3 to 4 minutes left before we terminate the program. The next question is, with the sub, can ladies dye their hair with other dyes except mehndi?
Yes, they can do it, provided the ingredients are not haram.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question sister has is, if a woman is aware that her husband is having an affair, what must she do? Is istikhara one of her options?
What she is going to make istikhara for? Can you say why she wants to make istikhara? He should be going to do some military exercise. Istikhara is not the first issue. He should, first of all, be certain of her allegation, because this is a mighty accusation she is making. And if she's very certain about it, and she's got proper evidence about it, then she should do these things. First of all, she should call her father and mother, if not available, her brothers, if not available, those who were the witnesses in her marriage, to come and arbitrate here. And also inform his parents that what this man is doing. If all are not available and not prepared to come to help her in a difficulty and solve her problem, then she should go to the local jamiat and speak to one righteous pious alim and express the difficulty experienced by her, and then inshallah they will take it up from there.
Alright, so the next question is, salams, when you make ghusl, do you have to remove that little dirt that's in your nails?
Why keep those long nails? That is why we are clearly stating that they should not be keeping such long nails that the dirt accumulates there. Ulama has stated clearly that the water should be reaching every part of the body, and the skin between the finger and the nail, also the water should be reaching there, and the dirt also should be reaching there for logical, medical, hygienic purposes also.
Right, JazakAllah. So we're going further. The next question is, what's the ruling of on blood and organ donation?
Ulama Ikram say blood transfusion and blood donorship is permissible, provided they don't sell that blood. Secondly, organ transplant and is permissible, providing that it is a life-supporting organ.
Right, the time is 6 minutes to 10 o'clock on this Sunday. I will take another 2 to 3 questions. The one is, can you pay traffic fines with interest money? Alright, there's the first question, Mutisa. Would you like to answer that one?
If you feel strongly that this fine is a form of oppression and it is not your fault, and you got interest money without willfully or purposely earning it, then you can pay it.
Alright. And the second question is, the brother has, that do stepchildren inherit from step-parents if there is no real children, and the deceased has brothers and sisters?
The stepchildren do not inherit, but the person making the will has got one-third leeway in allotting some of his wealth via the one-third to his stepchildren.
Alright, so the next question is with regards to, you know, natural disasters. The brother wants to know, he says, when Allah gives earthquakes, is there a particular reason for it or for other natural calamities to take place, Islamically speaking?
Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and her says that these earthquakes result when adultery, fornication, music, intermingling of sexes, they are on the increase, and when they are not regarded as sin as sin.
Alright. The next question is, what is the correct way of drinking Zamzam? It says in South Africa and Mecca as well.
When you are in the Haram, that is the Masjid Haram in Mecca, and you are able to see the Kaaba, then it is sunnah to stand and drink the Zamzam. And if you are not able to see the Kaaba and you are still in the Masjid al-Haram, that is, you could be behind a pillar, or you could be on the second floor or in the basement, then it is not sunnah to stand and drink the zamzam. So when you are at home, it is not jurisprudential sunnah to stand and face the Qibla and drink the water. However, if a person does it, then that is part of mannerism and ethics. But jurisprudentially speaking, he would not be contravening any Islamic law.
All right, Rishab, it's now 3 minutes to 10 o'clock. We have the last and the final question for tonight. And the question states, Salaam Zulana, South African breweries are the new owners of Coca-Cola in Gauteng. Is it permissible to trade with them? Jazakallah.
It is permissible.
It is permissible. All right, Jazakallah. Jazakallah for your time. Jazakallah for your dedication. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of Muttasab salvation and the entire family salvation. And may Allah grant you long, happy, healthy life, inshallah, Muttasab, and a pious life. Jazakallah so much for your time. And make dua for us, Muttasab.
Inshallah. And tonight we have to, alhamdulillah, come to Mulana Balin's house, make dua for him too. We had some landline telephone problem in my house due to weather. So make dua for the entire ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take words from us, grant us sincerity, and also we make dua for you and all those in the station and all the families also, and the ummah at large.
Ameen. Mr. Jazakallah so much for your time. Jazakallah for your du'as. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.